popular demand.
The NBL One West Radio Show. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West. The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West Radio Show.
Welcome along, NBL One West Radio Show. Brett Costello with you as always. But this week, my special co-host is one Jordan Scardetta, famously the 2021, I guess what was it, announcer of the year? Was it commentator of the year? Yes, that's what it was, wasn't it? Welcome along anyway.
No, thank you, Brett. Nice warm introduction. Nice to finally be here and be a part of the show. I know I've been unavailable for the first a couple of months of the season. Good to be here with you. And yeah, chatting some NBL One West action, because it's been a fun first eight rounds of the year.
Yeah, certainly it has. And Ben's held our hand well up to now, but we're pleased to have your input. And look, obviously you have a strong sort of commentating and announcing background, I think, particularly in footy, but in more recent years you've been involved with the basketball. And what have you been seeing out there in NBL One West land?
I've loved it, honestly. I saw it, the call go out for commentators at the start of last season when all the games were going to be broadcast, and they put the feelers out to see who'd like to do it. I thought, oh well, I'll put my hand up and give it a try. I've always loved going to NBL games. I always loved the live atmosphere of basketball. You know, I'm not a big NBA watcher, never really had been, but I was sort of into the NBL. Loved going to Wildcats games, so I thought, why not give it a crack? And yeah, went along and did the audition, and then my first game was at Willerton Basketball Stadium last year, and that was great. Really good atmosphere, you know, new arena. I thought, oh, this is really good. There's quite a following here. I'd never really followed the SBL before in its previous incarnation. And then my second game was at Mike Barnett Sports Complex at the Hot House, and that was an introduction to what a raucous venue is. It was incredible. A Saturday night game, and I still haven't experienced an atmosphere like that. The Flames were up and about that night as well, and had a really good win, and I was hooked from there. And you know, coming on and doing the streams every week, it's been heaps of fun getting to go. I've gone to pretty much every metro venue. I think Mandurah and Lakeside are the only two that I haven't been to. Yep, I've been everywhere else so far in the Perth metro area, and I've loved every minute of it. I look forward to my Saturday evenings every week to be able to commentate these games, because it is so much fun.
And I think the extra exposure for the league, it sort of goes without saying that the extra buzz that has been created for grassroots basketball generally in Western Australia, just as a result of having these live streams essentially available, and the little snippets of social media type of packages that can be generated out of that, is really great.
Yeah, it is, absolutely. And I've got family who like to go back and look at clips of games that I've done and all that sort of thing, and the fact that that's all really easily accessible to them is fantastic. I can just direct them and go, hey, look at the NBL One West Facebook page, or go to the NBL One app, wherever it is. It's all so easily accessible if they want to, you know, watch the games that I've been calling or whatever it is. It's really easy, and yeah, that does help grow the league. And we're going to chat to a couple of guests later on who sort of talk about the evolution of the NBL One West and how more talent is coming over to the competition. I think that's a reason why, is they're able to see every week the quality that the competition brings and what they'd be coming up against. They're not sort of taking a chance on a league they haven't seen if they're coming over. They can go, oh yeah, I think that league looks great. I could really, you know, ply my trade there and really improve that competition.
Well, that's certainly a fantastic segue into some of the great guests that we do have, both our men's and women's competitions really well represented. We'll be chatting with Jesse Gee from the Goldfield Giants, a guy who I was able to check out a little bit on Sunday afternoon as they got the W over the Hawks in the men.
Yes, that was, I guess, a bit of a shock result, and we can chat a bit more about the Hawks on the other side of it later. But yeah, Jesse chats about the fact that they'd come off a back-to-back late the night before and then played a lunchtime game on Sunday, and they were able to get the W there. So that's an excellent result for them, and yeah, he's a fascinating chat.
Speaking of the Hawks, they got the W in the women, and we'll be chatting with Emma Clark ahead of her big news and what's happening with her and the WNBL side as well. Plus Michael Vigor from the Tigers after his 250 game on the weekend.
Yeah, that's a huge milestone, and we're seeing a few guys rack that up, but even bigger for him, and you'll hear him talk about it in the interview, where he touches on not just the fact he's played 250 in the SBL and NBL One West, the fact that he played 150 professional games in the UK in amongst that, as well as spending time in the NBL, and he's still been able to rack up 250 NBL One West and SBL games. It's an outstanding achievement.
And we're going to do the Jordan Scardetta special, the and one slash fouled out. So tell us the concept here. What's happening?
Okay, so yeah, I've got the and one or fouled out, which is a review of the previous week. You know, you imagine that you're the guy who's charging towards the basket. You're on four fouls. Your team needs this basket to win the game. Do you lay it in and draw the blocking foul and get the and one? Or do you take the charge and get fouled out? That's so. And one is your good result from the weekend. Fouled out is your not so good result. One to forget. And yes, that should be a bit of fun. We'll have some fun with that.
All right, something to look forward to as the hour goes through. We'll be back on the other side of this at the NBL One West Radio Show.
The SKG Radiology official NBL One West Radio Show. Let's get this thing started. The all-new NBL One West Radio Show.
NBL One West Radio Show, Brett and Jordan with you this week. Round 8 is in the book, and as we've come to expect, some fantastic games in Round 8 action.
Yeah, there certainly were across the board for many different reasons. There was some, you know, we saw some buzzer-beating shots, or essentially buzzer-beating shots to win games. We saw some teams really make some statement wins as well in the men's competition especially. We can touch on that in a bit. And a team that's caused a bit of a boil over, and maybe they've got a second half of the season renaissance coming.
Well, we'll start with the women, perhaps. You spoke of buzzer beaters, and there was none bigger than the Joondalup Wolves getting the three-point win over the Mandurah Magic, 80-77. That three-point buzzer beater.
Yeah, absolutely. Kiara Phillips will be very, very much pleased with that in the dying seconds of that game, be able to knock that down, not only to get the win, obviously that's exciting enough, but to keep the unbeaten record intact. You know, they're the pace setters of the competition, the Wolves, and they've been very good all year, and Mandurah are one of the teams that are trying to come up and challenge and be a part of that upper echelon. And yeah, to hit a three late to save it from going to overtime, 2 seconds on the clock. Yeah, you're very pleased with your work when that happens, that's for sure.
That's the nice spot to be in, isn't it, when you're already tied? Worst case scenario is overtime. You let that one fly with a bit of confidence. And unfortunately, Casey Milo and crew at the Mandurah Magic there fought hard all game but were unable to get the chocolates on that one. Congratulations to the Wolves on a good win. As you said, keeping their unbeaten run on track and on top of the standings at the moment on the women's side.
Yeah, that's a big one for them, being 8-0 at the break, and the way the women's competition is shaping up, we're looking at a repeat of last year's grand final, the way things are going, because Willerton are travelling incredibly well as well.
Would totally agree with you there, and that's certainly the way things are looking at this early stage with 8 rounds down. Now, you mentioned a bit of a boil over in the men's. The Goldfield Giants came to town, and they may have expected to get the win over the Lightning, but it certainly didn't turn out that way.
Yeah, 5-2 record coming into town, that you would have thought that they probably go in as favourites, but I guess the X factor that the Lightning had was Donald Vaughan coming in as their new player and an import guy, and what an impact he has on his first night. You know, hits the score sheet, plays 20 minutes, 10 points. He also finds himself on the boards, three rebounds as well. So, you know, has an impact and you know, it sort of stamps himself in the competition. But Sebit Reith, what a night for him. 18 points to go with 14 rebounds, a big double-double for him. And yeah, that's an enormous win for Lakeside. You know, sometimes all it takes is that one guy being injected into your lineup. I know they're 1-7 after eight rounds. All of a sudden, it's 2-7. And maybe the second half of the year after the bye next weekend, they build some momentum and sort of push towards that bottom half of the top eight, because they're not out of touch. They've had a slow start to the year, but that win could certainly help propel them up the standings if they can get it together.
Well, you certainly alluded to the fact a bit of a season-defining win. They did need that extra option outside of Reith, and hopefully now they've got that. And there was only 5 points in it. It was certainly came down to those last couple of minutes, that's for sure, and a couple of clutch shots.
Yeah, it did, absolutely. And they'll be very pleased to get the W there, because that's a big one for Lakeside.
Looking at that NBL 1 men's ladder, there's also one undefeated team for the men's as well, the Geraldton Buccaneers, of course, travelling very strongly. You mentioned off the air, there's sort of it's getting a little bit of separation now, perhaps, between those top five and then a secondary five, and then moving through the bottom group, perhaps.
Yeah, that's what it seems like at the moment, that there seems to be the top five teams, and maybe the one that's borderline is Goldfields, whether they're sort of a middle of the pack or pushing towards the top. But yeah, you got Geraldton 9-0, Warwick and Rockingham both 7-2, Joondalup 6-2, and Goldfields 6-3. They're the ones that feel like your top five upper echelon teams. I know Goldfields had a stumble that we talked about on Saturday night, but then they followed it up with a really powerful performance on Sunday against the Perry Lakes Hawks. So I probably belong in that top five sort of section. Then you look at Coburn, who've rebounded after four losses in a row, and that was a statement win. I'll talk about that more in a second. Mandurah, Perry Lakes, Perth, and Willerton, who are all around that four or five wins on the season mark, that are battling for those bottom couple of spots in the top eight to sort of push for the bottom. And then there's a bit of separation to Lakeside, East Perth, Kalamunda and Southwest, who've had five wins between those four teams. I know I said Lakeside, maybe they're the ones who can make a push because they've made a change to their roster and they can push up the standings, but it really is a bit of a struggle for East Perth, Kalamunda and Southwest at the moment to get themselves on the board. Maybe, you know, they sneak a couple of wins here and there, but it feels like there's a sort of 5-5-4 separation at the moment between the very best and those in the middle. I tell you what, especially the top three, they are looking very, very powerful at the moment.
Yes, it's been that patchy form, I think, of that middle group, which has been a little bit of a struggle. But you did allude to the big win for the Coburn Cougars on the weekend as well.
Yeah, statement win for them. They only played Perth a couple of weeks earlier at Belmont and really faded in the second half of that game. Jeremy Grace got his three-point shooting game going and just shot the lights out that night. And he's continued that form personally right through into the weekend to the point where he shot 10 threes. That was the game I was lucky enough to be at on Saturday night. And we talked in the broadcast about the key for Coburn is to have consistent scoring across all four quarters and from all of your roster. And that's exactly what happened. Yeah, Carter Skaggs hit the first 5 3-pointers of the game, which was just ridiculous. Within 6 minutes, he had 15 points all from three-point range, didn't miss a single one. It was a ridiculous start from him. But even outside of that, they got contributions from right down their lineup. Gavin Field got involved. Josh Hunt got involved. Nathan Pond coming off the bench got involved. And that's not even to talk about Pascal Chukwu, who had a double-double, but probably the quietest double-double he'll ever had. He played barely half the game. And had a real impact coming off the bench. They were able to really spread the scoring load, and they got roughly 30 points every quarter. You know, they were really consistent, put up 125, and I feel like that was a statement win, and it'll be interesting to see whether they can carry that momentum into the next couple of weeks after the bye.
And you never know which version of the Redbacks are going to turn up. Is it the Redbacks that we saw get crushed by the Perry Lakes Hawks a week or two ago? Is it the Redbacks from the Friday night where you saw Grace getting the 10 threes and they looked like a scoring juggernaut out there having a lot of fun? Or then a slightly different Redbacks you mentioned, okay, Zach Gatorna was not there, but they really struggled against the Cougars.
Yeah, they were somewhere sort of in between against the Cougars. They had really good patches in that game, but you could tell that Coach Craig Jackson was really frustrated with his team. In the last quarter, when the margin had blown out a little bit, he benched his entire starting five, and he went to his bench players pretty much entirely for that last quarter, and you could see a lot of frustration in his face in the way that they were defending, and that could have something to do with having played the night before. And you know, it's tough when you play the night before and then you get down big early as well. You know, they were down by nearly 20 in the first quarter, and it can be really tough to come back from that, and maybe there was an element of that. But he did look visibly frustrated on the night, and he'd expect better of his defensive side of the game than what he got on Saturday night. But that's, you can't take anything away from Coburn in that and the way that they play, because their offensive performance was outstanding. And Saber Chan, 10 assists as well. He was the setup man all night in that performance. It was remarkable watching them play, and that's easily the most complete performance I've seen from the Cougars this year.
Well, I wish I had some type of a big drum roll or introduction or something, but it is time for the world-famous Jordan Scardetta and one/fouled out. What have you got for us?
We've already referred to it, so our and one for this week is Carter Skaggs and his three-point extravaganza. That set the tone for that entire night. Five threes from his first five shots, just knocking them down from everywhere. It was crazy watching it. Ended up hitting 9 threes for the night. He was just an everywhere man. 35 points, just a crazy, crazy night that he had. But that first quarter, that first 6 minutes of the game, he ripped it right away from the Redbacks, and they weren't able to recover. And it was a one-man show, Carter Skaggs. It was unbelievable to watch in person.
And the fouled out section in contrast?
We've kind of touched on this, and I'm going to put a bit of heat on someone that I know quite well, and I know he'll take this in good spirits. Matty Parsons and his Perry Lakes Hawks men, they need to get it going. They're a middling team at the moment, 5-4 at the halfway point of the year. They've played around a little bit with the lineup. They haven't been getting their offensive end going. You know, they've been hovering around that 60 to 70 point mark in the games that they've lost. When they've won, the offense has been clicking, and they've run well. They've put up a 100-point score at one point this year. So they are capable. I'm not sure what is at the Perry Lakes Hawks that they need, but they need to find something to really get them going. It's hard when you're the reigning champion, because you become the hunted. You are the one that every other team brings their best to your arena. And when they play you, when you come to their arena, they bring their best. And Perry Lakes need to find something in the second half of the year. They don't want to be finishing in that 5th to 8th position. They'd rather be up in that 1st to 4th, giving themselves the double chance setting themselves for a back-to-back championship. So I'm sure Matty Parsons has plenty of magic in those in those hands and on those whiteboards. He can work his magic and figure something out.
This week, the Perry Lakes Hawks men fouled out. All right, well, we'll be back on the other side of this. We're due to speak with Jesse Gee from the Goldfield Giants after getting that win over the aforementioned Perry Lakes Hawks. It's the NBL One West radio show.
At SKG Radiology, we care about your health and welfare. This is why we bulk bill Medicare rebatable services across all 20 SKG locations. Some exceptions may apply. Ask our friendly staff for details. Visit skg.com.au.
All the local basketball action, roundups and reviews from the NBL One West. The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West radio show.
It's the NBL One West radio show. Jordan Scardetta and Brett Costello with you. This time on the line, we're with Jesse Gee from the Goldfields Giants, recently relocated to Western Australia. Welcome along to the NBL One West radio show.
How you guys going? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, very good, very good. Great to have you on. I mentioned to you off air, I was able to catch your game on Sunday. After a bit of a heartbreaking loss, perhaps, on the Saturday night, you were able to back things up and get a great win down there at Bendout on Sunday against the Hawks.
Yeah. That was definitely a tough game for us on the Sunday. And, you know, we came on the Saturday thinking that we would, I guess, a little bit overconfident, which is always not a good thing as a team. But, you know, Lakeside came out and gave us the L. And then we just had to bounce back on Sunday and against Perry Lakes, which is obviously a really, really good team as well. So just get the win. And we're all very happy with that. We could split the weekend.
It was my first time seeing you play, and I was certainly impressed with your skills, and you've been scoring very well. For people who haven't seen you, how would you describe your play?
It's funny because coming from NBL One North, I was a little more passive, a little bit more of a playmaker, and you know, that was kind of my game. And I always grew up being a pass-first point guard. And I guess, you know, things changed when I went to college and I came over here and I became more aggressive. So now I guess I look to score more, which isn't probably a good thing, but whatever is beneficial for my team and, you know, to get the win, I'll do whatever it takes, whether that's passing or scoring. But I try to be as aggressive as I can offensively and try to be just as aggressive on defensively as well without fouling out.
Jesse, Jordan Scardetta here. Thanks for coming on the show. What was it that triggered the move from NBL One North, not only to the NBL One West, but to probably the most remote, you know, semi-professional basketballing location in Australia?
Yeah, it's funny you say that because I have never even heard of Kalgoorlie. and I've been on the East probably my whole life in Brisbane. And I guess it was just about different scenery, I guess. Just didn't really know how the West operated within, obviously, the NBL One. So I just wanted to see if I could kind of adjust my game and see if I could fit in and just move to a new area and just see if I was successful. And obviously, with being with the Giants, they welcomed me in. And, you know, fifth on the ladder, we're doing pretty well so far. So I guess, all in all, it's been a good move and a good decision. And I'm still adjusting to Kalgoorlie weather, and it's definitely different from Brisbane. So
I can imagine just going back to the weekend you've just had, you've played in college, you went to California, you played a bit in college, you've played the NBL One North, yep, obviously, and now you're in the NBL One West. You had a back-to-back on the weekend, which was an evening game and then a lunchtime game, obviously to accommodate being able to get back out to the Goldfields and get home on Sunday night. How have you ever experienced a back-to-back like that before where you're playing two games within the span of less than 24 hours, more like 18 hours?
I'm not going to lie. These back-to-backs kill me. And the road trips, they kill me as well. Like the 8-hour bus trips, I'm telling you, it's not, I don't know how to handle it. I'm still trying to figure it out. But when I was in the NBL One North, playing at Northside, we actually never got to do our road trips up to the far North Queensland in Cairns and Townsville because COVID hit. So coming out here in Kalgoorlie and doing these road trips, I was like, man, I am not ready for this. Like, it's not ideal, but my body's still adjusting and I'm still trying to work around it. And I think, you know, we did well as a whole and me just do well in the Sunday game against Perry Lakes. And I think as the season goes on, I'll be able to keep adjusting and working around it. So, yeah.
So compare and contrast it for us, Jesse. You go out and you're playing a fierce rival team who come in and it's a red hot game and you come out with a real tight win. Tell us the difference of the reaction in town after that game in Northside in Brisbane versus Kalgoorlie when you come out of Niels Hansen Stadium.
It is amazing. Like, the energy and just how... It's just... I love it because the community is a lot tighter and everyone's together within the Giants. And when you get a win like that, you can just feel the energy. And I guess, you know, in Brisbane, because it's so city and it's, you kind of get lost in not staying. Like, it's just not... The culture is a lot different, if I could say that. So I guess when you get wins like that and being with a team, with a young team, you can just really feel the energy and it's just a different feel all in all. Like, I can tell you, I actually really, 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 really loved it. So, yeah.
Have you had a chance to do any of the touristy things out Kalgoorlie way? Like, have you been to the Super Pit? Have you gone gold prospecting? Have you played two up at the old shed there? Look, have you done any of the tourist stuff out there yet?
I haven't. I've only ever seen the Super Pit. But no, I haven't even... Is there much... I don't even know if there's much touristy stuff that I've even been told about. But usually my schedule is more just, you know, basketball or lifting or, you know, just sticking to business while I'm there in Kalgoorlie. So, yeah.
I think you'd be very good, Brett, at smashing the old quartz rock and getting the pan out and finding a little flecks of gold in there. I reckon that'd be right up his alley.
Something to work on. When I saw the Giants on the weekend, it looked like as a club, either intentionally or unintentionally, they've certainly embraced multiculturalism. It looks like you've got all sorts of representations within the current lineup.
Yes. No, I love that. It's an amazing feel, like, just having different people, whether it's, you know, Hussein or Zoe from America or G from, you know, being within the South Sudanese background, and then me, obviously, indigenous, like, and then everyone else around us, you know, it's, you know, we always say as a team, we're a family, and that's always brought us together. And it's very, very, very good culture to be a part of and a very good team to be part of. And everyone's just so embracing of it.
So it sounds like you might see a bit of a longer term for yourself there up in Kalgoorlie, or you just got to play it by ear at this point?
It's funny, when I got there, I actually had a good feel. I remember when I actually got off the plane, I said, man, where is all the greenery? Where's all the building? But when I got off the plane and I kind of just felt the vibe, I actually enjoyed it a lot, and I still enjoy it in Cal. But like you said, I might just have to play it ear by ear and see where I go after this season. You know, initially you want to do really well and finish at the top. And if that could happen, maybe I could run back-to-back with him. But, you know, I always like to keep my options open and see where it takes me. So, yeah.
The last couple of years has been tough on the regional teams in the NBL One West as far as results have been concerned. We've seen the Buccaneers this year have really rebounded in a big way, and the Giants are doing the same as well. What's the ceiling on this Giants team? Where are you guys setting your sights, sitting at fifth position after nine games?
Yeah, obviously, me coming into the Giants, I've been told, like, you know, Giants haven't been doing well in the past seasons, and I think for us and with the talent we have and the people that have come back, we can see ourselves in the top. And I think, you know, being realistic with, like I said, with who we have around us, we can definitely finish at the top, and that's what we're pushing. And I don't think we want to finish anything. I think we have a lot to prove as a regional team, especially coming into these games in Perth and the Metro teams. But, you know, we kind of have our sights set high to finish at the top and really make a bang with this season with the Giants.
Jesse, we really appreciate your energy, and it can't be easy for the regional team sometimes to be able to recruit talent. So I think your inclusion there and your enthusiasm for the town is really fantastic. We appreciate your time and coming on to the NBL One West radio show.
Well, thank you guys so much.
Jesse Gee there from the Goldfield Giants. Jordan and Brett with you. We'll be back after this on the NBL One West radio show.
The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West radio show. When you depend on the right result, choose SKG Radiology, providing bulk billed Medicare rebatable services at all 20 locations.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
This is the all-new NBL One West radio show. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West. Check the NBL One West radio show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic.
Welcome back, NBL One West radio show. It's your favorite NBL One player's favorite radio show. Brett and Jordan with you. Well, this coming weekend, of course, it's a long weekend. There's no games. We all get to enjoy a little bit of break, but that seems to mean that there's an absolute bumper weekend across that weekend of the sort of 10th, 11th, 12th of June.
Yeah, huge weekend. A lot of teams playing back-to-backs or two games in 3 nights on that weekend. So, yeah, there's plenty of action. We've got three games on the Friday night. We've got a whole bunch on Saturday, and then two games again in the men's competition and one in the women's on Sunday. So, plenty of action across those 3 days.
And plenty of double-headers as well. Now, I know you've got your eyes on a few games, but the one that's caught my eye, of course, is the Geraldton Buccaneers travelling down from Gero to the Warwick Stadium to take on the Senators, essentially a 1v2.
Yeah, it is. As it stands at the moment, it is the 1v2. That could change on the Friday night games. But yes, Saturday night, 7 p.m, Warwick Stadium. That's going to be a beauty. It's going to be the biggest test of the Bucks so far, and they've stood up to every test that's come their way. They're 9-0 and had an overtime game in that lot as well against the Cougars when they were flying high and got over that hump there. This is going to be their biggest test yet. I got to see Warwick a couple of weeks ago live, and they just have threats all over the place. When they were being threatened by the Eastern Suns, who were scrapping their way into the game, Cody Ellis just said, nope, you are not being a part of this game. We are just going to take this game away and just hit three after three after three and put some serious separation in that game. But if it's not Cody Ellis, it's Caleb Davis. And if it's not Cody Ellis and Caleb Davis, it's Corbin Rowe, who are just having these huge impacts on games and really setting themselves apart. You know, Corbin Rowe did it against the Perry Lakes Hawks a few Friday nights ago. He was the difference in that game in a short space of time. And they just have so much firepower that way. And Geraldton, yeah, as I said, they're responding to everything that's coming their way. And they've got a great mix up there at Active West Stadium. They have to travel down to Warwick to do it. Look, that's going to be really fascinating on the Saturday night. I'm looking forward to that one. And as you said, Brett, that is absolutely in the men's side of the competition, the game of the round.
You can see all of the fixtures at nbl1.com.au/west. But I know there's a few other exciting bits that have caught your eye as well.
Yeah, there is. If we look across to the women's side of the competition, there's a couple that really tickle my fancy. Willetton Basketball Stadium, 5 p.m. Saturday, June the 11th. Willetton versus Mandurah. So we've talked about the potential that it's looking like a rematch of last year's grand final, the way the women's competition is shaking out. Mandurah is one of those teams that's looking to push up. We said they are one possession away, that buzzer beater away from pushing Joondalup up to overtime. They get to test themselves now against the next best as it currently stands in the Willetton Tigers, who have just such a formidable lineup in the women's competition, led by Alex Sharp, reigning MVP, an incredible player as well. And Mandurah, if they're going to take that next step, this is one of the scalps they have to take. They're travelling up to Willetton. They'll want to do it on their home court. That's really got me excited as far as the women's competition goes. And the other one involves the other top team, Joondalup, against Coburn, who are sitting fourth at the moment, who again are looking to really push themselves to be a part of that top two conversation and really push themselves up. And look, from what I've seen of Coburn this year, Jesse Edwards, outstanding centre, and I labelled her early as I think she'll be the MVP of this competition this year. She just an incredible year, multiple 30-point double-doubles. So that alone should set her apart from the rest. But she's got a great supporting cast. Jewel Williams has made the move down the hill from the Eastern Suns and has been a really impactful player down there. They've got really good three shooters off the bench as well in Hayley D'Souza and players like that. You know, someone like Carly Morgan, who was a regular starter last year, is now playing off the bench, but that's a role that's really suited to her, and she comes in and has a real impact on games. And I've seen Coburn a few times. They've put up some big scores. They put up multiple 100-point scores. This is a time where they can really test themselves against the best. So up at HBF Arena, it's going to be a big test for them, 5 p.m. Saturday, June 11th. I think they're up to it, and I reckon that will be the game of the round for the women's competition.
And if you're looking for a good double header, that's actually not going to be too bad a fixture in the men's either. It's essentially a 3 versus 5, and the Wolves and the Cougars both travelling along pretty well in recent weeks in the men's.
Yeah, and the big rebound game that we spoke about for the Cockburn men. And yeah, they get to travel up, and if they want to push themselves up into that top four, where they were at the start of the year and where it looked like they were going to continue being, this is a game that they need to make sure they lock down and win. So yeah, big trip up the highway for that club. The other game I like in the men's competition, which is around that sort of similar area, that mid-table area, the Perth Redbacks travelling to the Goldfields Giants to take on the Giants. Redbacks have had a really up and down year. You said earlier in the show you don't know which Redback side might rock up on any given night. They all want their best to rock up against the Giants because that's one of the teams that they're battling for those middle of the table positions. That's that sort of fifth to eighth, those four slots. There's probably seven teams that can fit into those four slots. And the Redbacks, they need to be beating the teams around them if they're going to push for those slots. And this is a golden opportunity for them after a rest. Maybe they get someone like Isaac Katorna back. Jeremy Grace rests his body and feels that shooting prowess again. They go out to the Goldfields. If they take the Giants down, then that can really set them up for a big second half of the year.
And a loss, without wanting to be negative, pushes them below 50%. And then they've got definite work ahead of them, and then they're perhaps struggling a little bit around that mid-table area.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something that Coach Craig Jackson will be eager to avoid.
We're trying to have a little bit more fun. We had the and one and fouled out earlier on. This time we're talking about the layup and the air ball. Who's got which of those?
Yep, so this one's where, yep, you're running in and you either put the layup in, it's a nice easy shot, or you pull up and go for the three to go for the glory ball, and it ends up being an air ball. So the layup, I kind of set this one up myself, but after I, you know, prodded Matty Parsons a little earlier in the show and his Perry Lakes Hawks, my layup is the Hawks to beat the Joondalup Wolves on the Friday night. I think they're too good a quality team to be letting that would put them on a bit of a losing streak. They're too good a team to let that happen at home after a break. They get some rested bodies and get themselves right with a couple of weeks of really focused training. I think they will take care of Joondalup on Friday night. Well, that's my layup.
We're going to lock that in. Let's talk about that in 2 weeks and see if the layup doesn't turn into an airball, just to make sure. And who have you got for the official airball then?
Airball, there's no one specific in this one, but my airball is the Long Weekend Blues. There's going to be someone, and you'll know who you are when you're listening to it, who's got plans on Sunday night to have a nice extended evening enjoying themselves. And I feel like that they will feel it on Monday, and you might be putting in an extra training session on Monday because, of course, being the long weekend and no games, you might just have an extra one. And there'll be someone who's contacting a coach and saying they don't feel particularly well on Monday, and the coach will be telling them down the phone that you just need to get back to it and come on down because this is a self-inflicted wound that you have caused. And so that's my airball to whoever is planning on doing that. Avoid that airball. Don't do that. Don't do that. Just lick your wounds and front up on Monday night for the extra training session and get to work and get the job done. You know who you are, who's got plans. Make sure you're keeping on the straight and narrow.
No sympathy for the self-inflicted airball. We've still got Michael Vigor from the Willetton Tigers to come. We'll be speaking with Emma Clark from the Perry Lakes Hawks after this on the NBL One West radio show.
Your health and welfare are important. At SKG Radiology, we know this. Take advantage of bulk billing all Medicare rebatable services across our WA practices. Some exceptions may apply, so please ask our friendly staff for more details. From X-rays to ultrasounds, low-dose CT scans and MRIs, no matter where you're referred to, when you depend on the right result, choose SKG Radiology. Visit skg.com.au.
The all-new NBL One West radio show.
NBL One West radio show, welcome back. This time we're joined on the line by Emma Clark, the current star at the Perry Lakes Hawks there in the NBL One West. You may be familiar with her name from the WNBL also. Well, last season at least anyway, she was with the Perth Lynx. We're going to explore that a little bit more. Welcome along to the NBL One West radio show, Emma.
Great. Hi, guys. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, our pleasure. Our pleasure. Well, firstly, a good win on the weekend over the visiting Giants on that second game of their back-to-back weekend.
Yes, no, it was a really good team win. Really happy to come away with the W.
Well, I think that was a humble approach, and look, I guess it always does have to be a team win in a team game. However, your personal form in season 2022, though, has been outstanding, and you've looked like a lady on a mission.
Yeah, no, definitely. After last year, only playing, I think, five or six games with the Lakeside Lightning, and had an ankle injury and, you know, just didn't get to play much of the season. So, yeah, definitely come out ready to play this year and, you know, work on all the things that I've been working on in the off season and, yeah, just putting all my hard work to play.
Well, I know that you're a junior player at Hawke's, so to a certain extent this year has been a return to your sort of original junior club. But you also mentioned your time at Lightning and, of course, with Craig Mansfield coming from the Lightning to the Hawke's this year as well. Which part or of those two sort of played the greatest portion in your move back to Hawke's?
Definitely Hawke's is a lot closer to home. So not having to drive, you know, down south on the Mitchell Freeway at peak hour traffic was a big thing. But then also Craig, like, he's been in the league for so many years and coached so many high-level athletes. I'd only heard, you know, good things about how he keeps his players accountable and really grows their game in lots of ways. So, yeah, it was kind of a no-brainer for me, to be honest.
Jordan Scadetta, by the way, Emma Clark, and thank you for joining us this evening. The Hawke's women's team in the off-season seemed to have gone into, I guess, a bit of a hard reset on what happened last year. They were, I know internally they were really disappointed with how the women's season panned out. We're 9 games into the new season. How have you seen, I guess, the rebuild or retool of sorts evolving? And what's, I guess, what internally is the talk like as far as how the expectations on this team?
Yeah, I mean, definitely last year, you know, they had a lot of big girls with Nat Burton and Sarah Donovan and Maddie Dennis, you know, all the tall trees inside. So definitely the focus was last year for them, you know, just from an outsider looking into, you know, make it a post focus. But definitely this year, you know, we get up a lot of 3-point shots and just giving all those confidence to those younger girls because we really need them to perform. So, yeah, just going out there, trying to execute the game plan, game in, game out. And, yeah, just getting better every week is the main focus at the moment.
And Brett touched on it off the top. We might as well talk about it. Signed a 2-year deal during the week or last week with the Sydney Uni Flames in the WNBL to continue your WNBL career. What was the thinking behind the move to the Uni Flames?
Yeah, so I definitely, you know, after 2 years with the Lynx and kind of playing a big role player, you know, not playing a whole lot of game time coming in, you know, behind the likes of Marina Mabry and Jackie Young last, you know, my role wasn't quite big in the team. So I definitely thought that, you know, making a move, I would get hopefully a little bit more opportunity for some game time. And then, yeah, under Shane Heal, just the development aspect, you know, he's developed his daughter Shyla so well and even Keely Froling just based on 1 year with her last year. So, yeah, definitely development and game opportunity is the biggest reason that I made the move over.
And how have you found that your last couple of seasons spent with the Lynx in very trying circumstances in both seasons in varying ways? How have you found that that's impacted your game coming back to a NBL One West level?
Yeah, definitely it was, I'm not sure if you know the story, but it was a very last minute decision for me to play 2 years ago when I first signed on, you know, just not returning back to college and just making that last-minute decision when Sammy Whitcomb pulled out. So that was still a good experience. You know, I didn't obviously plan to be playing games and all that kind of stuff, but I'm so glad I did. But, yeah, no, definitely playing and training alongside our imports and just our veteran players, even, you know, our Australian Opals in our team. It's just really grown my game, and to see how they play and how they carry themselves off the court as well has been a really big influence. And, yeah, definitely taking a lot of what I've learned into NBL One West.
So that would have been the bubble season in Far North Queensland that you're talking about. What was that experience like? That would have been something incredibly unique.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like I said, it was a real last-minute decision. So just getting up and packing my bags, I was obviously really excited. But, no, a really good experience to, you know, be with a professional team and, yeah, like amongst all those girls that have been in the league for a few years and just all the experience that they had. It was a really amazing opportunity and, yeah, soaked in a lot of information, definitely.
You mentioned all of the talls from last season at the Hawke's, most of which, other than Maddie Dennis, who has played a couple of games, haven't been available this year. Sarah Loomis has been sort of the natural replacement for her, and she's had a couple of fantastic games, particularly on the defensive end, one with 6 blocks that sticks in my mind. How has she been settling into time at the Hawke's, and how have you found her as a teammate?
Yeah, no, really good. Love Sarah on and off the court, actually. She's so coachable, listens to everything that Craig says and all the feedback that he gives her. And, yeah, she just really wants the team to do well, you know, celebrates everyone when they do well, you know, if it's, you know, Mia Sadie, or down to our, you know, 11th, 12th role players. So, no, she's a real, really, really good player. And, yeah, I'm really looking forward to the rest of the season with her. I think she's, you know, sky's the limit, and she's got so much more to give.
You did focus earlier on probably a little bit of rebuilding going on at Hawks and quite a lot of younger players there. I've followed through the junior ranks and kept a bit of an eye on the likes of Malia Tharp and Ruby Vlahov. Both of those young ladies, and perhaps others that I'm not mentioning as well, have certainly got a lot of upside. What are you seeing from those girls inside the camp?
Yeah, no, definitely. Their skills are so much better than I, you know, had anticipated coming in. Just from when I was playing initially as a, you know, 14, 15-year-old in the, you know, SBL, we didn't have many younger girls playing. It was a lot of veterans. So, yeah, definitely those girls, especially Malia and Ruby and Ellie Newman, they've come in and stepped up. And, yeah, they're just killing trainings. And it's just so great to see them doing well, especially when they get subbed in, because I just think of all the opportunity that they have and all the years that they have to grow. And, yeah, it's just really encouraging to see.
Well, we appreciate your time on speaking with us here on the NBL One West Radio Show. Of course, we're looking down a highly regarded bye weekend for the long weekend. So yeah. Enjoy your little bit of time off and then back into it the following week.
Oh, great. Thank you guys so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Pleasure. Best of luck for the rest of the season.
Thank you.
The voice there of Emma Clark, star at the Perry Lakes Hawks and also in the WNBL, soon to be at those Sydney Uni Flames. This is the NBL One West Radio Show.
The SKG Radiology official NBL One West Radio Show.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
This is the all-new NBL One West Radio Show. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West. Check the NBL One West Radio Show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic.
Welcome back, NBL One West Radio Show. Brett and Jordan with you this week. And on the line now, we're going to be speaking with Michael Vigor from the Willerton Tigers. Welcome along.
Hi, Brett. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, pleasure. Well, of course, we wanted to have a chat with you following your 250 weekend, a big personal milestone for you. We perhaps would have liked to speak with you on better circumstances, though, unable to get the W this weekend.
Yeah, look, it wasn't the result I wanted on the 250th, but no, it's great to still be playing in this league and still be out there fit and healthy and running around. So it's always a positive.
Now, I know Jordan's going to touch on this as well. A big milestone for you, 250, but given that you haven't spent all of your time in the SBL or the NBL One West, you've been doing a lot of different things, I think it's perhaps all the sweeter for you.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I was kind of reflecting on it during the week when I heard it was coming up, and you know, I was kind of counting to myself, there's another 50 Siebel games, you know, 150 games over in the UK, and then a few more in Italy in the Commonwealth Games. So I was trying to see how much it was altogether. So it was a bit too many for my liking.
The league itself has obviously changed, Michael, in your time that you've been involved, and obviously the big evolution in the last couple of years going to the NBL One West. What has stood out as far as whether it be a change that you've seen off the court or around the game or on the court that's sort of caught you by surprise the most over your, you know, 15 or so years involved at this level?
Yeah, probably the talent coming through now. I think I heard a stat the other day that it's now basketball is the number one participated sport in the junior ranks in Australia, and just the sort of talent coming through and the guys that are at a level already and receiving probably a level of professionalism now at the NBL One level that maybe wasn't quite there back in the SBL 15 years ago. So it's great to see sort of that youth coming through and that level of professionalism keep rising.
Obviously, in that time we've talked about, you've played all around the world. You also played in the NBL with the Perth Wildcats for a bit. I was just doing some research before this, and you played in 13 games and went undefeated in the 13 games that you played minutes in. Is that a fact that's come up at parties in the past?
No, it's never come up at a party. It's been a few Wildcats gigs in the past, but that was probably one of the first times I've heard that I was undefeated. So, no, I'll take that stat and I'll run with it. The new go-to.
Definitely a fun fact for barbecues, I reckon, that one, for sure.
So Brett touched on it, but you have played all around the world. Obviously, you said 150 games in the UK to go with 250 here and all the games that you've played at other levels. Compare the where you played professionally over in the UK. You spent four seasons over there, and then and compare that to your professional and now your NBL One experience in Australia. What have you been able to bring from over there that's translated into the game, and what's different about the way the game's played from Europe over to Australia?
Yeah, definitely. I always compared the UK or the BBL over there to sort of in between NBL One and NBL, probably smack bang in the middle. There's a lot of talent over there. You're allowed sort of three Americans, two Europeans, and then the rest are locals. But you always find a few Americans with sort of European passports as well. So there's a lot of talent over there, and the physicality was quite high, but just in terms of gameplay, it's quite similar to over here in Australia with that level of physicality. So it sort of translated well, and my game translated well there as well. So it was a bit of a win-win situation for myself.
You're listening to the voice of Michael Vigor from the Willerton Tigers. We had your teammate Ollie Hayes-Brown on the show last week. In fact, how have you been going teaming up with him with that sort of two big man combination for the games that both of you have actually been able to suit up?
Yeah, it's been great. I mean, we're only probably three games in together now, so there's a lot of sort of a long process still to go to get all the chemistry and whatnot correct. But so far, it's been great to have another big guy that can sort of do a bit of the grunt work and grab a few rebounds, whereas I felt like it was a bit of a big load last year. And as the 250 games keep rolling on, it's sort of nice to help me on the wear and tear side of things. So, yeah, it's great.
You alluded to that chemistry piece, and looking at the Tigers on paper pre-season, we might have expected sort of a ranking ahead of where you are at the moment. How do you think that's all coming together in the greater picture?
Yeah, look, we were quite severely hurt early on by COVID, with myself and a few other key players who have been out, and injuries, and it all comes sort of down to timing. So we're only really starting to sort of, as I said, get the pieces back in and start to build that chemistry. We've got, obviously, now with two bigs, it's a different style of play as opposed to last year, running with sort of one true big and four sort of forwards or guards. So it's taken time, and we're probably behind the eight ball with being hit by injury and COVID, but you can't make excuses. You put what you can on the floor and you keep moving forward. So it's a long season, and I'm sure we'll be at the right there at the right time of the season anyway.
I had the privilege of covering you a lot last year, Michael, getting to see a lot of Tigers games in 2021. Not so much this year. Haven't been able to get to Willerton Basketball Stadium in my assignments so far yet, but we're going to ask the hardest hitting question here. It stunned me to see when I was watching highlights, you've gone from the number 25 to the number 0. What's the thinking behind that? Is there any significance behind having the number 0 on your back?
No real significance. I think I sort of wore 11 when I was younger in my career, and then as I played at a few different clubs now, you know, these numbers aren't always readily available. So 0 had been one I played in Bristol, and enjoyed that sort of that number, and when it came available this year, I just decided to snap it up, rather get out there nice and early rather than wait for number 25 to roll around.
Well, Michael, we appreciate your time and speaking with us here on the NBL One West radio show. Of course, we've got the bye weekend coming up, and then back into things the following.
Yep, thanks for having me.
Yeah, we wish you all the best for the rest of the season as things start to move up and up for the Tigers.
Thank you very much. Let's hope so.
Appreciate your time.
Cheers.
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West.
2-0-1-5. Yeah, feels so good.
The all-new NBL One West radio show.
NBL One West radio show. We're bringing things to a close for another week as we look forward to next week and enjoying a week off. We'll take a little bit of a break here at the NBL One West radio show. But we've got eight rounds under our belt now, and it's probably time to circle back. You alluded to one of your picks earlier, Jordan, about who's bobbing their head up as some of those early MVP sort of candidates as we head towards the second half of the season.
Yeah, so I alluded to Jesse Edwards, who I thought I picked her very early in the season, as I think this absolute shoe-in for the women's MVP. She's been outstanding to start the year. And the men's, it is a little bit tougher on the men's side of things, but I've got one that really stands out for me. And I guess this one's a bit trickier because there's another standout player on the same roster that, right, that could probably fit this. But I think Marty Nelson, okay, has been, he put up another 30-plus point performance on the weekend, and they're real eye catchers when you can put up 30-plus points, and he seems to be doing it on a consistent basis. He's clearly enjoyed his time in the NBL when he went over to the Cairns Taipans and had some time there in this past season, and he's brought that back to his NBL One West play, and he's been one of the pickups of the year from a Flames perspective. You know, they were one step away from winning a championship last mm-hmm. year, and they add Marty Nelson, you know, and he's a really, he seems to complement that lineup and exactly what they need really well. You know, I talk about the other MVP potential in that lineup. Devondrick Walker yes. has been brilliant to start this season as well. Completely different type of player, obviously, yes. but and valuable for a different kind of reason. But as far as the value that he was expected to bring to a lineup, Marty Nelson has brought it in spades and then some, I think, this year. So he's been a standout for me as a sneaky, I wouldn't put him as my, you know, absolute definite like I have with Jesse Edwards, where I've boxed into a corner and gone, yep, this person is going to be the MVP. But Marty Nelson is a sneaky chance to come up.
It's an interesting one that you had, because Ben Pether, obviously another regular co-host here at the show, he was talking about Devondrick Walker. Mm-hmm. And my argument was, I'm not sure whether the likes of Marshall Nelson are going to steal too many votes off him, so to speak, in terms of, is he going to get enough carry through? And the same could possibly apply to Nelson in some ways at that one standalone. And I'm thinking of someone like King at East Perth Eagles, yes. for example, yep. with the current MVP voting system that we have in place. He's going to collect a lot of votes each and every week just by turning up. Let's be fair. His team may not get a huge number of wins just based on what we're seeing so far. He's probably a little bit light on for help down there, but that will certainly help him to stand out in those MVP votings.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
And you see it a lot in the voting systems like that, where there's teams that don't do so well, but they have a standout player and they're getting close. You know, they get close in games. That's when you can kind of pinch a couple of votes here and there, and then when they do have a win, bam, they're the standout and they get top votes in those games. So yeah, certainly an interesting approach. You have to not only think about the quality of the player, but also the way the voting system works. Mm. Right.
Okay, let me ask you this then. Mm-hmm. Movers and shakers. The ladder's starting to get a little bit set in the men's and the women. We have got a couple of undefeated teams that are probably towards that top end. But who do we think may be moving and shaking over current weeks and bobbing their head up towards those sort of top four areas?
Yeah, so we talked a little earlier in the show about the key games over the next couple of weeks and what we're looking forward to. As far as teams that are outside looking in at the moment, it's, I guess, the easy one to say is the Perry Lakes Hawks. We'll jump up in the men's competition, and I think they're sitting eighth at the moment. I don't think that's where they finish. I think they're quality enough to finish inside the top four. So I think they're the ones that kind of start to move up a little bit. As far as the top eight is concerned, I can't see Perth sitting ninth and Willetton sitting 10th. It's hard to see anyone inside that top eight dropping out at the moment. Like, who's the obvious one to go out? You know, Mandurah still has a quality lineup, even if they are, you know, the other side of 30 sort of age bracket, and maybe, you know, there's a bit of burnout there towards the second half of the year. Who knows? That they could be the ones that are vulnerable. But for me, Perry Lakes are kind of the mover and shaker. They're the ones that go from the bottom half of the eight inside to the top half and push for a top four spot in the men's. In women's, it's a little harder to tell. You know, the top two I feel are set, and even Warwick in third, Stacey Barr is going to keep them there. She's an incredible player and has a really good, solid supporting cast now as well. But, you know, in that competition, who pushes up into the top four? I mean,
I'll give you my Smokey then. Yeah. I'll help you out. My Smokey is the Perth Redbacks in the ladies. So any team for me that's got Mac Dyer and starts to get clicking on all cylinders, my expectation is that they'll rise. Now, how far they can go, obviously we still have to see, but yeah, that's my Smokey.
Yeah, and that's a good call, Brett. I'll piggyback off that, because they really started to push Coburn, who are a really quality outfit, on Saturday night. They really started to push Coburn, and that game changed when Parker Esri was fouled out early in the last. So she got to four fouls really early in the third quarter. I think it was only about 90 seconds into the third quarter, and had to sit most of the third, and then quite early in the last, I think it was only 2.5 or 3 minutes into the last, she got fouled out of that game. You know, brand new import, had a big impact on the Friday night in their win over East Perth, and then came in and they really pushed Coburn, who had beaten them 2 weeks earlier by 60 plus points. They had wiped them off the floor. 67 points they beat them by, 118 to 51. It was an absolute wash, that game. It was quite incredible watching it. the Redbacks can get going, if they can show what they showed for long stretches of that game against Coburn for the rest of the year, yeah, they could definitely push up.
They've certainly got some upside, I would say. Well, you can check out all of the ladder stats and details over at the brand new NBL One app, or also, of course, nbl1.com.au, or your maiden voyage with us here on the NBL One West Radio Show for season 2022. Hope that you enjoyed your time.
It was great. Thank you. And I hope I didn't wear anyone's eardrums out with all the talk. But no, it's been great to be a part of it, and it'll be really good to be a part of it for the rest of the season ongoing.
Thank you very much for your input and insights, Jordan. We'll be, of course, having a break next week with no games on offer, and you'll catch us in 2 weeks' time as we review round 9 and work through to round 10. Thanks once again from the NBL One West Radio Show.
Missed a part of the show or wanting more? Check the NBL One West Radio Show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic. Listen or download in your own time and check out the podcast exclusives for more. We'll be right back.